I'm excited to be able to study the Bible with you. It says things that are so different than we would normally think because it's a book written by God and gives us the opportunity to look at the world the way that He looks at the world. It takes some work, though, to understand, and so we have this opportunity now to study, and also this evening from 8 to 9, you might be able to see in your bulletin. We're going to meet on Google and actually work through a Puritan sermon on the art of self-humbling. So you're definitely invited to that as well. But right now, if you'll take your Bible and open to the Gospel of Luke, we're in the Gospel of Luke, and we are going to be meditating on Luke chapter 14, verse 11, where Jesus says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." So that's our verse for today. And it was our verse for last week. And it will be our verse for next week. I'm kind of stuck on it. I realize that. I'm stuck on it. I can't get past it. Because this is a verse that's about a subject, pride and humility, that's worth talking about for a long time. It is just a very important subject. I know for me, I need to think about it. And I didn't want to move past this verse too quickly. I wanted more time to just think about this subject, more than just 1 week. And so we're really just hitting the pause button and meditating on this verse together. And while I'm sort of pulling the verse out and we're looking at it by itself, Luke 14, 11, just this one verse, if you remember, we did think about the context a little. It's been a couple weeks, but we saw that in verse 1, Jesus had been invited by a group of Pharisees to their house, and he was going to the home of people who really thought they knew the Bible. And yet, in verses 1 through 6, Jesus proves that he knows much more about the Bible than any of them do. Jesus really humbles them. Which was ironic because the whole reason they had invited Jesus over was because they were trying to humble him and exalt themselves. It was a setup. In verse 1, Luke says, "One Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching Jesus carefully." And we talked about that last phrase, watching Jesus carefully, because it tells us they wanted to see Jesus do something wrong. And as we read the story, we discover they had designed a situation in which they thought they were going to prove they knew more about God's law than Jesus did. They invited someone over who was sick on the Sabbath because they thought Jesus would heal him, and they could say, "Hey, he broke the law." It's obvious. But Jesus asks them a question first before he does anything, and they can't answer. And so instead of being honored, in the end, they're humbled or shamed, really, because they're quieted, shut up, and yet they didn't actually learn anything. And so in verse 7, now Luke says Jesus is watching them. "Now he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed." And Luke writes it that way because he's indicating that Jesus is going to show us what's wrong with the Pharisees. They were watching him, and now he's watching them. And what he noticed is that after he had revealed how little they knew about God's law, instead of repenting, they quickly just started looking for another way to honor themselves. And so he tells them a story to show how foolish they're being. And then he talks about two strategies for living in verse 11 as a warning and a word of instruction. If you keep going this way, this is what will happen. This is the direction you're headed. This is what's going to happen. That's the warning. So don't keep going this way. Go this way instead. That's the instruction. "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted." And because this is such a huge part of what the Pharisees got wrong, and because of all people, they should have known better, it is a warning, not just to them back then, but to us, it's still possible to do what they did. Even if we think we've got this down, they thought they had it down. You know, and so we need to take some time and really try to think about this. And we're doing that by looking at this first strategy more carefully. There's two strategies, And we're looking at the first. That's how we've started, thinking about exalting self, because it's so common in our world, because it's not something many people even consider a sin. They don't even consider it wrong. And because it's so dangerous, I want to put exalting self up there as a pinata and sort of take our blindfolds off and just go after it by answering several questions. One, what does it mean to exalt self? Two, how do people exalt themselves? Three, why is it so wrong to exalt yourself? And four, how do we overcome it? And we're looking at those questions week by week. That's why it's taken us 3 weeks. And we started last week by asking, what does it mean to exalt self? Because it's hard to overcome a sin if you're not sure what it is. And so we took a step back and we looked at the Bible and what's happening in Luke, and we said it's not just a matter of someone desiring a good reputation or wanting honor that Jesus is warning us about. And we know that because other places in the Bible, a good reputation is something that is valuable, and because the promise about what happens to someone who humbles himself is that they are exalted, and so being exalted can be a good thing. And because one of the reasons Jesus came was so that we might be glorified. That's part of the hope of the gospel. And so we know that's not it. That's not what it means to exalt self. But then what does it mean? It's when this desire is out of whack, meaning we don't just want honor. We want honor from men more than we want honor from God. We love approval. We want honor for honor's sake, rather than as a result of being honorable. We're not satisfied with doing the right thing. We want to be noticed for doing the right thing. We crave compliments. We want to be honored more than we want to obey God. We're willing to compromise so that people will honor us and not disapprove of us. We want honor so much that we're willing to sin to get it. We want to honor ourselves above others. We're looking to be seen as better. We establish how well we're doing by comparing ourselves with others. We want honor because we think that's where we find happiness. If only we're honored, if only people don't disrespect us, then we'll be happy. We can't be happy without it. We're making choices primarily based on other people's approval. What will people think is a really life-shaping question for us. We want honor now so much that we're not willing or happy to wait for God to give it to us. We want honor for the wrong things, and we try to get honor in the wrong way. And so what does it mean to exalt self or to want to exalt self? You could say it's the desire to be exalted minus faith. Minus faith in God, you want to be God. Minus faith in what the Bible teaches about sin, you think you're better than others. Minus faith in salvation, you want to boast in yourself. Minus faith in heaven, you're looking to be honored right now, which is a good start to understanding what it means. It's loving approval. It's fearing man. It's selfish ambition. But it's just a start. We have to get even more specific. Because again, you know, you ask most people, what do you think about people exalting themselves? And they don't like it. Especially other people. It's easy to be against pride in general and say, I don't believe in pride. I don't like pride. I don't believe someone should seek to exalt themselves. And you ask them, do people do that? And I think most people would see this as pretty common in our world. Yeah, that's our culture. Our culture is so into self-exaltation. But then you ask, how about you? How about you? And honestly, I guess most people think, no, not really, no. I don't really seek to exalt myself. I'm a pretty humble person. Because it's very easy to be against this sin without noticing all the different ways your life is driven by it. It's weird. When people are physically blind, they're usually blind to everything. But with this kind of blindness, you can see others very clearly and not yourself. As one old Puritan has written, men are commonly very blind to all things that are amiss in themselves. Most people can't see hardly anything that's wrong with themselves, but they are more blind to their pride than anything else. And I believe that. I really believe that. I mean, for example, I guarantee you in Luke 14, if you ask the Pharisees, is it wrong to exalt yourselves? They would have said, yes, that is totally wrong. We've preached sermons against it because they were students of the Bible, and this is all over. What Jesus says to them isn't something new. It's like a paraphrase of four or five different proverbs. It's a theme in the Old Testament, and yet Jesus sees that even though they knew this was wrong in others, they didn't see it in themselves, which is why we took some time to think about some of the specific ways this sin shows up in our lives. That was our second question. First, what does it mean to exalt yourself? Second, what are some characteristics of someone who is exalting themselves? And I gave you 10 signs from this passage in Luke that someone's seeking to exalt themselves. They trust their own reason above God's revelation. You remember these. They act like they're experts, and it's very hard for them to take the position of a learner, even when life has made it obvious they have much to learn. They're not amazed by Jesus and the gospel. They use people rather than love them. They're more focused on doing something a certain way that other people will approve of than doing it the right way. They're hypocrites, more focused on the externals than the heart, more interested in what people think than loving Jesus, who cover up what's inside and get really worried when it's exposed. Super concerned about people thinking they're a sinner, but not very concerned about sin. They come to situations more interested in how they look than God being glorified. They're more excited when they're glorified than God is glorified, and more upset when they're dishonored than when God is dishonored. They devote more of their attention to grabbing hold of honor for themselves than they do being honorable. Being noticed for doing something is more important to them than doing the right thing. They treat people differently based on what they think those people can do for them or what other people think of them or how those people make them feel about themselves. And they're unwilling to be generous when there's nothing in it for themselves. Very generous maybe when they can get honor from it, somebody else sees, somebody else can do them something that is good, but very stingy. Otherwise, those are 10 signs from Luke 14. And you can listen to last week's sermon to see where they come from, or you can do the work yourself. But of course, there are more. There are more. There's a lot more from the rest of the Bible. Because this problem starts back at the beginning. Adam and Eve are the first examples of someone seeking to exalt themselves. You remember they're in the garden, and they've been honored by God, but that's not enough for them. And so when Satan says God is withholding something good from them, they believe it. He says, eat this and you'll be like God. And that sounds great to them. And they listen and take the fruit and eat and show that they think they know better than God and seek to exalt themselves by disobeying God's word and end up ashamed and humiliated, actually. But when you trust your own opinions about what is good for you more than you trust God's, you know what? You're seeking to exalt yourself. That's Adam and Eve. I'm about to give you 19 more signs. If you are amazing and can remember each one of these, awesome. Otherwise, maybe you can take a picture and think about these on your own, because I want you to look at your life and ask yourself, is this what drives you? There's a savior for sinners. There's not a savior for self-righteous people. Cain. We don't know much about his story, but we do know that Abel's offering was accepted and his wasn't, which made him angry instead of repentant. And why does it make him angry? It's because he thinks he knows better than God how to worship God. This is the ultimate self-exaltation, making up your own religion. And so God comes and says, be careful, and yet he doesn't listen. And instead of trusting God, he takes action to exalt himself by murdering his brother, which is what sinful self-exaltation does. I will push you down to push me up. And when God comes to him and gives him a chance, he doesn't repent, but says, God, you're being too hard on me. And instead of being humbled for his sin, he feels self-pity for being punished, which is how exalting self works. When your sin is exposed, you make excuses and get angry with God and feel sorry for yourself instead of repenting. Then there's someone named Lamech. You can keep reading. He comes next, and he writes poetry about himself. And his poem is basically, I can take care of myself better than God. And that's exalting self, right? I don't want to listen to you, God. I won't repent, God. I don't need you, God. I can take care of myself. I can take care of myself better than you can. You did this for those who would do something to Cain. Well, look at what I'll do to anyone who does something for me. That's, to me, that's exalting self. Then if you keep going and listen to the motivation behind the Tower of Babel, they say, come, let us build for ourselves a city with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. In other words, they say, let us use our technology, let's use our skills to develop technology so that we can show the world how powerful and great we are so that we don't need God and we don't have to obey God any longer. We can just live in our own little imaginary world, like imagine there is no heaven, imagine there is no God, and let's push ourselves up by pushing God out. Trying to live life without reference to God and what God wants, acting as if you're the one in control of life through technology, seeking your own comfort and glory, not his, is exalting self. Then you fast forward to the book of Exodus. You meet Pharaoh, and the whole story is about him trying to take the place of God, mocking God, refusing to listen to God's word, claiming to be more important than God, and acting like he's other people's God. And he's humiliated. You know, there's lots of examples of how this works. And yet he feels like such an extreme illustration that we might not think we could follow in his footsteps. But if you look at how people act when they're given positions of authority, you find we haven't always changed that much. There are lots of little pharaohs today abusing authority. How you act when you have power often reveals whether or not you're seeking to exalt yourself, and how you act when you don't as well. Because if we keep reading Israel's story, in Numbers we find Miriam and Aaron, Moses' brother and sister, becoming angry at him because of the privileged position of leadership that God had given him. And so they start grumbling and speaking against him because they wanted to be honored like Moses was. And since most of us don't have a lot of authority, this is a really good test. What's our attitude towards people in leadership? It was hard for Miriam and Aaron. And not just them. A few chapters later, it happens again with someone named Korah, who refuses to submit to God-given authority. Grumbling about leadership, being a bad follower, sometimes is connected to exalting self. And then there's at least one more in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17, where Moses warns the people about what could happen when they enter the land and God blesses them, because he knows they're going to be tempted to forget God and that God's the one who blessed them and exalt themselves by giving themselves the credit for what God has done, which is still pretty common. I mean, I think they all are. What's it look like to exalt self? Wanting to be your own God, not trusting God's word, leaning on your own understanding when you're making decisions, refusing to repent when sin is exposed, taking advantage of others, seeking a name for yourself, using technology to be your own God, abusing authority, being angry at authority, not being grateful when others do well, forgetting God and taking credit for yourself are 10 examples from just the first 5 books of the Bible of what it means to exalt self. And you're probably glad I stopped there. But Jonathan Edwards points out 10 more to make it 30, and even 30. So how do people seek to exalt themselves? Are you getting the idea that like this is a sneaky sin? He says one way is through the way they talk about themselves. They talk about themselves a lot. They try to get the attention on themselves. You can talk about what God's done in your life as a means of honoring God and doing other people good, for sure. Or you can talk about it as a means of honoring self and protecting self. And a lot of people do that. Words are a way of exalting self. They've been given to you to glorify God, but you use them to honor self. How you dress can be another sign, which is not one that we think about a lot nowadays. But if you stop and think about it, it's kind of crazy how much confidence you can find in an outfit you wear. And sometimes people start trusting in their clothes rather than God. You can check out 1 Timothy 2:9 and 1 Peter 3:3 if you want to think more about that. But of course, it's not always just clothes if we think about the principle, because we can look to almost anything external as a means of exalting ourselves. If you're a kid and you like have a rare Pokemon card, it's like, look at me. Or if you're older, you see people do this with the car they drive. I'm really something. I drive this car. I'm important. The school they went to. There's a million ways, but externals are a way people try to exalt themselves. Ways of speaking to others can be another way people exalt themselves. There's a proverb, Proverbs 11:12, that uses the word belittle. The proud person belittles others. And I love that English word. I don't know the etymology, but there's a way of talking to others that basically says belittle. And it can be a tone of voice or words said in a sarcastic way. But the way we talk and our facial expressions can be tools we use to exalt ourselves. Fourth, being so impressed by our acts of humility can actually be a sign we're exalting ourselves. A slave washes someone's feet. He's not, whoa, look at me, I just washed somebody's feet. A king washes somebody's feet, and he's like, how humble a king am I? Sometimes the reason we think we're so humble is because we're so proud. And any little small thing we do, we're like, wow, look at me condescending. Look at me going low. Fifth, self-righteousness, obviously, is one of the ultimate signs someone is exalting themselves. I always get this when I would, the one before, I always get that when I hold the door open for someone and they don't say thank you. Like in South Africa, many times you'd hold the door open. I guess it's not a cultural thing over there, and people just walk through. And I could feel it. Like, I don't mind holding the door open if you at least notice, but like when you're like a million people going through and nobody even looks at you, it's kind of like, hey, man, you know, like, because look at me, I shouldn't hold a door open or something. Fifth, self-righteousness is one of the ultimate signs someone's exalting themselves, thinking you're pretty good, which is amazing if you know the Bible, that someone could read the Bible and what it says about God and his judgment and God's law and think to themselves, that's no big deal, I'll be okay because I've been a pretty good person. Seems impossible, but people do because many people really have a distorted view of themselves. They're exalting themselves in their own mind. Six, lots and lots of negative talk about other people is another indication. Highly critical people are usually pretty proud people. People who can spot the failure in others so quickly and are so sure about it. If someone says to you, you're really good at seeing what's wrong with everyone else, that's not usually a compliment. James 4, check it out. Or look at the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs, proud men are called scoffers. And some people do that in public to the person directly, but some people scoff a lot at home when the person's not around. Negative, 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 talking poorly about people, but it's the same thing. Envy is another sign. Edward says, envy is the daughter of pride. Listen to this quote. 'Tis men's horrid pride that makes men uneasy when they see others advanced above them. This makes them ready to find fault with them as being unworthy of their places. So why do we sometimes get bothered when we see someone else doing well, especially a peer, like a contemporary? It's because if we're seeking to exalt ourselves in comparison with others, them doing well makes it harder for us to look good, or at least imagine that we're so good. And so we get upset about them doing well instead of being just grateful or happy. Being easily offended is another characteristic of someone who wants to honor themselves. Because if your goal is to be as humble as possible, someone disrespects you, their disrespect isn't a huge problem. Because that's the direction I want to go, even if they're wrong. You want to go lower. But if you're trying to exalt yourself, it feels like they're getting in the way of you getting what you want, and that makes you upset. And if you can't do anything about it, you have no power to change them. A lot of times what you do is you meditate on it. When you meditate on ways that people haven't treated you the way you think you deserve, you have to ask, why am I thinking about this so much if I don't deserve anything? Or if I believe God promises to exalt the humble? Loving flattery is another sign, hating correction. And then one last funny sign he gives, he says, proud people often notice what they think is pride in other people and are really bothered by it if they don't think that person deserves to be proud. And I don't know, but maybe one reason we don't like to see pride in people we think don't deserve to be proud is because it's like a warning. Maybe that's us. Maybe the stuff we're proud about, we're not as good at as we think we are, and we don't want to think that about ourselves. And so instead of humbling ourselves, we try to bring them down. Those are 30 different characteristics or ways that people seek to exalt themselves. And I know that's a lot, but there are still so many other ways this sin shows up. And I don't want to wear you out by giving you so many different characteristics, but I do want you to get a feel for just how pervasive this sin is and how many different ways it can show up in the way people live their lives, because it is a sin. seeking to exalt ourselves. And because it's a sin, we really, 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 really need to take seriously. Like, we need to hate this sin and fight against this sin in our lives as a church. And yet it's hard to hate and hard to fight because everybody thinks they're humble and can think they're humble because pride is so common and accepted and promoted. So it's hard to take seriously and be willing to do the hard work to root it out and kill it, which is why we can say, I don't want to exalt myself. I don't want to live for honor. But sometimes are just fine to leave it at that. When really we shouldn't leave it at that. We should desperately want to get this out of our lives. We need to take this sinful approach to life seriously and be willing to do the work to turn from it and change. And let me give you some reasons why. Why this is such a big deal. And this is our third question as we just meditate on Luke 14:11. Why does Jesus have such a problem with people exalting themselves like this? And I was going to give you 10 reasons, but I've talked for so long now, I can only give you three. And we find the first in verse 11. Jesus doesn't want you to seek to exalt yourself because it doesn't work. If you look at how the verse begins, it begins with the word for, which means Jesus is giving a reason. That's what the word for means, a reason for what? The Pharisees are choosing places of honor for themselves. Doesn't seem like a big deal, but that's what they're doing. And Jesus is saying, you shouldn't do that. Don't do that. For, why? Why does Jesus say they shouldn't seek to exalt themselves? Is it because deep down he knows how good it is to exalt themselves and he just doesn't want the Pharisees to experience the benefits of that? No. If you look at verse 11, why does Jesus say these people shouldn't seek to honor themselves? He says, for everyone who seeks to exalt himself will be humbled. It's because what happens to people who take this approach is the exact opposite of what they're wanting to happen. Everyone who seeks to exalt himself will be humbled. And you can underline the word everyone. This is what always happens. There isn't one person this won't happen to. And so Jesus looks at people who so desperately want honor and approval and everyone to exalt them and says, stop seeking to honor yourself because it will never work. As one old Puritan put it, it's a disposition, pride, or seeking to exalt yourself, which above all others in the world crosses itself and defeats its own end. Nothing is so contrary to pride as shame and dishonor, but yet nothing tends to bring a man to those ends as much as pride. It's kind of like when Jonah wanted to not go to Nineveh. He got on a boat he thought was headed the opposite direction. But what happened? He got to Nineveh way faster than he would have if he hadn't got on that boat. And here are people who so desperately want to be honored. They so desperately want to avoid being shamed. And so they get on this boat they think is headed the opposite direction, called Exalt Yourself Boat. And yet what happens? That exalt yourself boat always takes them exactly where they don't want to go. Which I feel like I kind of need to shout because the world tells you the opposite. The opposite. The world tells you that exalting yourself is the only way to get ahead. That this boat will take you exactly where you will want to go. We've even got sayings about it. You know, you've got to look out for number one, you know, and on and on. And we hear that kind of thing so often, it can feel true. There's something funny about us as humans. If something is outrageously untrue, as long as you say it loudly for a long time, people will start thinking it must be true. And so we have to step back and ask, you know, really? Really? I know the whole world is shouting this out, but does exalting yourself work, actually? First of all, because can you really say something works if the end result is the opposite of what you're trying to accomplish? No. And the end result of trying to exalt yourself is the opposite of exalting yourself. If you don't repent of this strategy, you will humiliate yourself. That's why you should hate it. The Bible says in Isaiah 2:11-12, you can write it down, I'll read it. The haughty looks of man shall be brought low, and the lofty pride of man shall be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. For the Lord of hosts has a day, against all that is proud and lofty, against all that is lifted up, and it shall be brought low. And that's a promise. There's a day on God's calendar when he's going to judge. And if someone takes this approach to life, doesn't turn from it, he's not a Christian. And there's a day when God will judge him. And you know how? What's going to happen to the proud person when God judges him? He's going to be shamed in such a huge way. I mean, think about it. Here's this person who's tried his whole life to get above other people, to exalt himself and look better than others as he's standing before God. And God looks at him and says, you know what your life deserves? Hell. God's going to send him to hell. Those who are proud are going to be sent to hell, which is the ultimate shame. You know what I'm saying? That's eternal shame. When you see some people going to heaven and you're going to hell, and that's exactly where exalting self ultimately takes people. It's like in an airport. You know how they have those moving walkways? What if there was a really long moving walkway and you didn't see the end of it yourself? Like it went around the corner. So this is an illustration and it's silly, but you get on this moving walkway because you think it's headed the direction you want to go. And you want to get there faster. And when you get on, you are moving faster than everyone else. You're like, look at me. This is working, all you slow walking people. But what if that moving walkway ended with a trap door that just dropped you out of the airport immediately? I said it was silly, but it's an illustration. For a while, when you're on the walkway, you could think, this is really working. It's really working. But someone who saw the end and saw all those people dropping through the trap door at the end would be like, no, it's not working, because that's not taking you where you think it's taking you. You have to get off before it's too late. And that's what Jesus is saying as he looks at these people seeking to exalt themselves. In the end, if you don't get off that walkway, you are going to be shamed and humiliated. And you know what? A lot of times, not just in the end. The end for sure, but a lot of times, not just in the end. The proverb says, when pride comes, then comes dishonor. That's Proverbs 11:2. And that's wisdom for life right now. Pride and dishonor go together. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And we've seen it do that a lot. We have. In fact, I wonder sometimes how many times you have to see something not work before you realize this doesn't work. You know? It's like when you try to fix something the wrong way, the cheap way, and for a day it seems like it's working and you're all proud of yourself, but 2 days later it explodes and it's like suddenly 10 times worse a problem than it was originally. That's exalting yourself. That's what happens. And I know there are brief periods of time where it looks like it works. But even best case scenario, when someone exalts themselves and it seems like they get ahead, you have to ask, are you really exalting yourself if you're honored by people for doing something that brings you shame before God? 1 Peter 5:5 says, God opposes the proud. James says the same thing, James 4:6, which means the most important person in the universe, the standard of what is valuable and beautiful and honorable, hates pride. And so obviously, just because a bunch of people are excited doesn't mean much if God's not. And he's not impressed when someone seeks to exalt themselves. In this world, guys, there's all kinds of crazy things that you can do that people will applaud you for. But it's not enough just to have people applaud you for something. If you really want honor and exaltation, you have to ask, who's doing the applauding? A blind person looking at your painting and saying it's beautiful probably doesn't mean much. If I go into a room with a bunch of three-year-olds and I start acting like a three-year-old, I'm sure they'll think I'm great. But what kind of honor is that? If I play basketball with three-year-olds and they say, wow, you're really good at basketball, is that really substantial honor? I saw a story a while back about someone who dresses up like a dog. And I imagine when he dresses up like a dog, the other dogs like him more than they like me. I don't know. But I can see how that's true. I dress up like a dog. I can really fit in with the other dogs and be honored by other dogs. But you know what? When he dresses up like a dog, the other dogs might bark and sniff and get all excited, but not humans. Humans don't look at someone dressing up like a dog and say, that man is really honoring himself as he is on the ground sniffing. You understand what I'm saying? We don't praise him for that. It's not just being applauded that matters. It's not just being honored. It's who's honoring you. And so, of course, sometimes you can impress other people by trying to exalt yourself. And they're like, wow, look at you. But that's not how God sees it. As he's looking at what you're doing, it's shameful to him. And if you're being honored by people for doing something that you know brings you shame before God, that's foolish. That doesn't work. That's like saying somebody saying, I want to be rich. I want to have a lot of money. And someone says, okay, I know a way how to have a lot of money. I found out the other day, there's this great game called Monopoly. You go, you know, you get Monopoly at Target, you take the money out of the game, you put that in your pocket, and you'll have more money in your wallet. And you're like, you know what? That's a good idea, bro. I can see how that would work. And you do that, and you think you did something. No, you did not do anything. You did not make yourself rich. But you're like, look at my wallet. I've got all this money in there. Yeah, but that's not real money. And being exalted by people for a few minutes for doing something that God hates is not really being exalted. Exalting yourself can't work, even if it looks like it does. It's like thinking you can clean yourself by making yourself dirty. And that's one reason Jesus has a problem with people exalting themselves. He knew the more the Pharisees were trying to exalt themselves, the more shame they were bringing on themselves. Even though it didn't look like it then, honestly. It looked like the Pharisees' strategy of exalting themselves worked because Jesus was the one who was crucified in shame on Good Friday. You would have thought they had won, and Jesus lost. But you know what? It's 2,000 years later, and here we are reading about the Pharisees and Jesus. And what do you think when you hear the word Pharisee? Not something good, even though in their day they were considered heroes. But clearly their strategy didn't work long term. There's a reason nowadays you say don't be a Pharisee. They tried to exalt themselves. What they got was shame in this world and definitely the next. That's one. Don't do it. Turn from it. It doesn't work. Hate it. Two, it doesn't work because it's based on ideas that are not true. It's not good to be deceived and to build your life approach on something that's not true, but it's tempting. We really want to think this strategy works. It's very easy for us to be fooled. If you think about Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, they're made in the image of God. They have communion with God. They're taken care of by God. They're in a perfect world. You would think it would be hard to get someone like that to feel discontent. But Satan does. How? By doubting God's goodness, distorting God's word, and in the end, just flat out lying to them. And they listen. And if it worked then, it's not surprising it still works now. Think about some of the lies you have to believe if you're going to live your life trying to exalt yourself. For one thing, you have to believe a lie about God, a number of lies. So for example, one big lie you have to believe about God is that he's not good and honest. If you're going to live your life to exalt yourself, because God says this is a bad way to live. And so when you take this approach, either you're saying, God, you don't know what you're talking about, or I don't think you know what's best for me, or you're not the source of every good gift. I need people's approval. I need their respect. I need people's honor now. I need for people to know I did this. I need for them to know how important I am. It's not good for me to be in this humble position. You have to believe a lie about God's goodness, truthfulness, wisdom, that's one. But I guess another lie you have to believe about God if you're going to exalt yourself is that he's a whole lot smaller and less significant than he really is. If you're going to try to sit on God's throne and get God's glory, you must not think much of God. I remember watching a YouTube video with these guys, college guys, talking about how good they were at basketball. And they were making fun of this professional basketball player who was always sitting on the bench for the Celtics and had red hair. See if anybody knows who that basketball player was. And somehow he heard about it, and he challenged them to a game. And it was 3-on-1, three of them against him. And you know what? I don't think they even scored a point. It's been a while, so don't quote me, but it was a definite defeat. And I'll tell you what, they were a lot quieter at the end. They weren't making fun of him anymore. The reason they were exalting themselves was because they didn't realize how good he actually was. And the only way people can live to exalt themselves and showcase themselves is if they don't recognize how great and worthy God is. Why would I want you to be in awe of me when you could be in all of God? If I know how beautiful he is, how great he is, that doesn't make sense. Ultimately, it's idolatry. I'm the idol, and I'm trying to get others to worship that idol. That's part of what makes seeking to exalt yourself such a terrible sin. I know on the surface, it doesn't always seem like a big deal, like, hey, just choosing the seat of honor for yourself. But look at what's going on underneath. You'll see pride is idolatry. You want what God deserves. which means you're believing a lie about God and also about yourself. And there's a lot of these lies, too. If we start identifying the lies you have to believe about yourself if you're seeking to exalt yourself, and some are more on the surface, like, say you want honor because of your abilities. And this is like counseling here, but where did you get those abilities from? Those abilities are a gift. You're trying to get honor for yourself from a gift you received from God. Or you're proud of your family background. You look at your ancestry, and you're like, I feel better because look at my ancestors. Really? You want honor for being born into a certain family. How long did you work to get born into that family? Like, did you choose to be born in that family? What does that have to do with you? Or you're proud of how much money you have. You think, I have a lot of money, I should be respected. Do you ever hear about that dog that inherited all that money? There's a number of them. Apparently, there's a German shepherd that inherited $80 million. Does that really make him more important? Like, when he comes into the church, we're like, hey, sit here. Or you're kind of proud of your influence. Maybe that you have a following of people you think who think you're really important. You think, I'm really something because I have all these followers. Did you know there are AI influencers right now on Instagram that have something like 6.6 million followers? AI. Not even real people. The proud man would be proud of a feather. That's how a Puritan put it. It's so delusional if you look at what people are proud about, especially when they're proud about how they're doing spiritually. This one's at the top. It's like, seriously, you're proud. You want honor from others for how you're doing spiritually. No, guys, it's grace. It's all grace. And what does grace mean? It's undeserved kindness. You were dead. Now you're alive. That's God. He gets the credit. You have to believe a lot of lies about yourself if you're going to live to exalt yourself. And those are just some that are on the surface. We can go deeper. The Bible says you've been created for the glory of God. You have literally been designed to make God look great. That's your purpose. If you know a preacher named John Piper, Google him. This is his big thing, and it's a good big thing. Let me quote him. He says, we've been designed by God to consciously display God's greatness, beauty, and worth. That is our fundamental identity. Why does he say that? First of all, the fact that we're created in the image of God. What are images designed to do? To image. And so why did God create 7 billion images of himself on this planet? Why did he do that? Surely the answer is to get attention, to draw attention to himself. You don't put an image up and hope nobody notices it. You're made in the image of God in order to image, to display, to point to God. That is your identity. Why did God do this? It seems to me, Piper says, that he is passionately devoted to filling the earth with himself, with pointers to himself. In every tribe, tongue, and nation, there are these statues called human beings created to image God. Consider Isaiah 43:7, where God says of his people, I created them for my glory. We're created with a nature fitting us to bring God glory. And that doesn't mean to improve upon his glory. It doesn't mean to add to it. It means to put it on display, to show what he's like. So you look at how humans are created. What are we for? What are we created by God to point to? We are created by God to display his greatness and his beauty and his worth. That's your identity. But when you seek to exalt yourself, you're saying to God, no, I don't want this identity. I will savor and display my own worth and my own beauty. But in doing that, you are making yourself ugly because humans aren't on the planet to exalt themselves. That is not what a human's for. We are made in the image of God, and so the role we play is imaging God. That's our significance, and that's what brings us honor. It's kind of like going to a wedding. As a pastor, I've gotten to lead a number of weddings, and it's a privilege, and I try my best. But whenever I lead a wedding, I don't want people to walk away mostly thinking about me. You know what I'm saying? That wouldn't be good. I'm there for the bride and groom. The wedding is not about people looking at me, and that doesn't dishonor me. You know, that people don't come to look at me. Actually, if people came to a wedding and went away saying, the bride and groom are fine, but you know that pastor, woo, what about him? That would be sad. That would not bring me honor. That would be like, man, I messed up. I dishonored myself. I shamed myself. I find joy and even honor in serving the bride and groom, doing what I'm supposed to do, because that's who a wedding is for from a human perspective. And who is the universe for? Who am I for? Who are you for? We're for God's glory. To live for our own glory, we have to believe a lie about God, a lie about ourselves. even to think that you can achieve that, you have the ability to exalt yourself, that you can do something to accomplish this, and that it depends on your efforts if you're going to be exalted is believing a lie. And you know what? You have to believe a lie about other people as well if you're going to take this approach. And I'm not going to go on forever, though it might feel like it, but if you're living like what really matters is the approval of other people and honor from other people, this is what drives you, you're acting like they really know what's valuable. They're the ones who determine what is valuable. You're acting like a bunch of humans say this is important, then it must be important. But we know biblically that's not true. Humans call evil good and good evil all the time. They're all confused. We know that biblically, we could prove it, and we know it practically just from life. I mean, who do you think are some of the most honored people in Los Angeles today if we took a poll? They would be probably people who are good at pretending to be other people on a screen. This always cracks me up when somebody is really like, you ask, I remember when I taught high school and asking people, who's your hero? And they would say an actor who played somebody important. I'm like, you know that guy's not the actual person, right? Or people who are really good at shooting a ball into a basket. They deserve all this honor because we're really bad at, as humans, at knowing who or what deserves honor. We can't let people who don't know what's valuable determine what we think is valuable. I mean, you go with me to an antique show and you ask me to help you decide what to buy, I've got no idea. I'm like, that looks nice and it's fake. Or that seems cheap and it's like from the 12th century, like the Ming Dynasty or something, and it's worth $1 million. You don't want me making those kinds of decisions for you, and you don't want to be making decisions about your life primarily on the basis of what people think about what's worthy or respect either, because they don't know, especially people you don't know, these people you've never met. You've never seen their lives. You don't know how they live. And yet, if you're living for people's honor, you're acting like these people somehow really know what's valuable when so often they don't, and you're making their approval way more valuable than it really is. Any strategy for living your life that's based on exalting self doesn't work because it's based on lies about God, about ourselves, about others. And there are so many more lies we could talk about that you're believing when you seek to exalt yourself, but maybe the one that's the most important. You're believing a lie about how being honored works. Because throughout the Bible, God says he's going to give glory as a gift to those who humble themselves and know they can't glorify themselves. And that's the kind of glory we should want, glory from God. And that's how you get it, as a gift given by God to those who ask and trust, not on the basis of what they've done, solely on the basis of what Jesus has done. Romans 3, 19 and 20, I just want to tell you the gospel for a minute. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be declared right, justified in God's sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. There's no one anywhere who's declared righteous by God through what he does. How then? But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there's no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. God gives a perfect righteousness to those who put their faith in Jesus as a gift that he purchased through Christ's work on their behalf. And he did it that way for a reason. He chose to save and glorify us like that so that we will not boast in ourselves, but in Christ and in God and in what God has done for us through his Son. And that way we're actually able to enjoy our glory and not ruin it. If we had anything to do with it, we would turn the attention from God to ourselves so quickly. And so he had to make salvation and glorification completely dependent on Jesus. We can only receive it as a gift. But sometimes we're not content with that because we're believing things that are not true. When I try to glorify myself, it's because I'm believing the glory that I can get from sinful people by what I do is better than the glory I can get from God for what Jesus has done. And is there a lie that's much bigger than that? It's no wonder it has a lot of consequences, which is a third, final reason. You're thinking, this guy started this first service so he could just preach all morning, right? But this is a third reason. And it's going to have to be our last reason. I tried to make this a shorter sermon, but I could not do it. Seeking to exalt yourself is foolish and sinful and needs to be repented of and turned from at all costs. One, it doesn't work. Two, it doesn't work because it's based on lies. And three, because it's based on lies, it has all kinds of terrible consequences. One old writer has put it, many sins have done wickedly, but pride surpasses them all. And we could illustrate that by looking at some of the bad things that have happened in this world because people wanted to exalt themselves. This is a world-destroying sin. There are angelic beings who are going to be imprisoned in hell forever who would be in heaven if it were not for Satan seeking to exalt himself. And if people weren't driven to exalt themselves, we would still be in paradise, right? What would the earth be like if Adam and Eve hadn't tried to exalt themselves? This is a world-destroying sin. It's a devilish sin. When you seek to exalt yourself, you're being like the devil and putting yourself in danger of his condemnation. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Timothy 3:6. He's talking about who can be an elder. He says, he must not be a recent convert or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. And we could talk for a while about what that means, but it's bad, right? You become puffed up with conceit. You receive a similar condemnation the devil received because you're sinning the way the devil sinned. James 3:14 and 15 says, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't lie, don't boast and be false of the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, listen to this one, demonic selfish ambition. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. And selfish ambition is seeking to exalt yourself. It's demonic and it produces all kinds of problems, every vile practice. This is a sin-producing sin. It's not just this one sin. This sin has lots of babies. If you're driven to exalt yourself, it's going to produce all kinds of other sins. Why is this person discontent? Why is this person greedy? Why is this person angry? Why is this person gossiping? Why is this person working so hard that they're neglecting their spiritual life? Why is this person so hard on other people? I'm sure there are other answers you can give sometimes, but one answer to all those questions often is because they're seeking to exalt themselves. And what's even worse is that it keeps you from changing when you do sin. It's a spiritual growth stunting sin. If you think about the Pharisees, here Jesus is trying to help them. And their desire for honor is making them oblivious. Because it wasn't hard to figure out who Jesus was and what Jesus was doing. He came humbly and all that. But God had explained in the Old Testament all the different ways they could know who the Messiah was. And Jesus met every one of those signs, and yet the Pharisees didn't submit, even though they were the ones reading the Bible all the time, and even though he spent so much time explaining, they didn't repent. But you know who did? Lots of people who knew much less. Tax collectors and sinners, which is part of the shock of the Gospel of Luke, because it's like these people are seeing Jesus clearly, who you would never expect to be able to recognize him, when the people you would think would know who he was can't seem to understand who he is. And what was the problem? John 5:44. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that is from God? You're not going to be able to do it. You're not going to be able to see me as long as you want the glory that's from men. Pride makes everything good and worthwhile more difficult for you. If it's not repented of and fought against, it will make believing and growing impossible. And it's a joy-stealing sin. When your main goal is to get other people's approval or be honored or exalt yourself, every trial becomes so much worse. God means the trial for good. He brings that circumstance into your life to help you grow, but pride turns the trial around and makes it a reason to complain and get angry because you think you deserve so much better or because your identity is riding on what's happening and you're just crushed because you're not getting what you want when you want it. It's an enslaving sin, a blinding sin, a selfish people-hurting sin, and we need to hate it with everything we've got and pray that God will help us fight it because we're living in a world that is promoting the exaltation of self. And even though we know it's wrong, we can be very tempted to live like the world around us. But it's sin. Making man's approval more important than God is sin. Being primarily driven by a desire for people to see you as great or important is sin. On a day-to-day basis, wanting to be seen as being above other people and better than other people and more valuable than other people is sin. Being dominated by a worry about what people think of you is sin. And it shows up in all kinds of different ways. It looks different in different people. And we're going to talk next week about how to overcome it.
But it's got to start by identifying it and hating it. And there are all kinds of reasons to hate it. We've seen what it does to the world. We've seen what it can do to us. But you know another reason to hate it? You know another reason to hate it? It's so unnecessary. You don't have to live your life enslaved by what other people think of you and driven by a desire to get honor for yourself somehow in this world, because God is willing and able to give a perfect righteousness and an eternal, unfading glory to those who will simply come to Jesus as beggars, acknowledging their need and depending solely on him, because his son humbled himself so that they might be exalted. Exalted, God can do this. God will do this. Believer, God promises that those who love Christ will receive a crown of life and glory at the hands of Christ. And if that's true, as Jonathan Edwards once said, what a shameful thing it is for a true Christian to concern himself much about worldly honor and greatness. What a dishonor it is to Jesus Christ, who has promised you this glorious crown, that you might despise worldly honors, as if you were not contented with what he promised, as if the honor of a celestial crown from the hands of the eternal king were not enough without a little worldly honor too. It is enough, the glory God has for us, for those who humble themselves. Let's pray that he helps us live like it.